All right, let's dive into some practical ethics today. We're going deep with excerpts from Peter Singer's Practical Ethics and tackling some seriously complex issues. We're talking animal rights, end-of-life decisions, and even, you know, our responsibility to the planet.
Right.
Big questions, right?
You hit the nail on the head there. What I find so fascinating about Singer's work is that he really brings philosophy down to earth, you know, out of the abstract and into our everyday lives. He forces us to confront those uncomfortable questions, the ones we often try to avoid.
Yeah, and one thing that struck me right away was that so many of these ethical debates aren't about disagreeing on the facts, but more about those fundamental values we hold.
Absolutely. Two people can agree entirely on climate change, that it's real, that it's caused by humans, but still land on totally different conclusions about what we owe to future generations. And that's where philosophers like Singer can really help us. They give us frameworks for navigating those moral gray areas.
And Singer seems to place a lot of emphasis on this concept of universality in ethics. What does that actually mean in practice?
Well, universality means applying our moral judgments consistently, no matter who's involved. It's about leveling the playing field, so to speak, and considering everyone's interests equally, not just our own.
So it's like that golden rule, right? Treat others how you want to be treated.
Mm.
But Singer's taking it a step further to encompass all beings, not just those we identify with.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the inherent worth of every individual. And utilitarianism is really at the core of Singer's ethical framework.
Could you break that down for us a bit?
Sure. Utilitarianism, in a nutshell, is about maximizing happiness and minimizing suffering for the greatest number of people.
He illustrates this with a really interesting example, that fruit sharing scenario, where you have to choose between hoarding all the fruit for yourself or sharing it with others who are hungry.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic Singer dilemma. If you're thinking solely about yourself, you might be tempted to keep all the fruit, but utilitarianism pushes you to consider everyone's needs. By sharing, you're actually maximizing overall happiness, which is the ethical thing to do, at least within this framework.
So it's about taking a step back from our own immediate wants and considering the bigger picture, the overall well-being of everyone involved.
Precisely. And this leads Singer to advocate strongly for equality as a fundamental ethical principle.
Speaking of equality, the book dives into some sensitive areas, like claims about genetic racial differences in intelligence. What's Singer's take on that?
He completely rejects any attempt to use genetics to explain social inequalities. For Singer, discrimination is wrong, period. It doesn't matter if there are average differences between groups. Whether those differences are genetic or environmental, discrimination is still morally wrong.
So it's not about denying potential differences.
Yeah.
But about saying those differences don't justify unequal treatment.
Exactly. It's similar to the early feminist resistance to genetic explanations for gender differences. They were worried it would undermine the fight for women's rights. But the bottom line remained the same. Discrimination is wrong no matter what.
It's like that saying, equality isn't about treating everyone the same. It's about giving everyone the same opportunities.
I like that. A very succinct way to put it. And this commitment to equality leads us to one of the most challenging parts of Singer's work, animal rights.
This is where things get really interesting. Singer argues that there's no real ethical difference between causing pain to a human and causing the same amount of pain to an animal.
He does, and it's a provocative claim. He argues that species membership alone shouldn't determine moral consideration, especially when it comes to suffering. He asked us to picture a baby and a horse both experiencing the same level of pain. Should the fact that one is human and the other a horse change how we view the ethics of the situation?
That's a powerful image. It really forces you to confront your own biases. Because if you wouldn't inflict unnecessary pain on a baby, why would you do it to a horse?
It's about expanding our circle of compassion beyond our own species. Singer wants us to focus on the capacity for suffering as the key factor, not arbitrary categories like species.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And this leads us to the value of life and the concept of different levels of moral status.
Right. Singer acknowledges that there are different types of beings with varying levels of self-awareness and autonomy. A fully self-aware person, for instance, might hold a different moral status than a creature capable of feeling pain, but without that same level of self-awareness.
And he uses that chimpanzee example to illustrate these considerations.
The one about capturing chimpanzees for research?
Yes.
That's a heart-wrenching example. Capturing infant chimps often involved killing their mothers. While chimps might not be self-aware in the same way as humans, they still suffer, and their social bonds are disrupted, raising those critical ethical questions.
So while acknowledging those different capacities, Singer still urges us to consider the interests of all sentient beings, human or not. And this brings us to another complex issue, abortion.
Ah, yes, a very sensitive topic. This is where Singer's distinction between human, in a biological sense, and person, in a moral sense, becomes so important.
Meaning that simply being biologically human doesn't automatically grant you full moral status as a person?
Exactly. For Singer, being a person involves certain cognitive abilities, like self-awareness, a sense of the future, and the ability to have preferences about your own existence. These are the things that give us moral rights, including the right to life.
So the ethical debate around abortion really hinges on when a fetus develops those qualities, the ones that would classify it as a person.
That's the crux of the argument. Singer discusses different points in fetal development that people have put forward as morally significant. Some focus on the ability to feel pain, others on the development of consciousness, or the ability to survive outside the womb.
It's a nuanced discussion for sure. It makes you really think about the different stages of development
Yeah.
and how much moral weight we assign to each one.
It does, and it's important to remember that Singer doesn't claim to have all the answers. He presents arguments from both sides, encouraging us to engage with the complexity of the issue.
It's definitely heavy stuff. So let's shift gears a bit. We've talked about the beginning of life. Now let's move to another controversial topic, euthanasia.
Another tough one. Euthanasia, just like abortion, raises fundamental questions about the value of life and when it's permissible to end it.
Singer explores a whole range of arguments,
yeah,
both for and against euthanasia, including the distinctions between active and passive euthanasia.
He does. Active euthanasia involves a direct action to end someone's life, like a lethal injection. Passive euthanasia is about withholding or withdrawing life-sustaining treatment, allowing someone to die naturally.
And then there's that sanctity of life doctrine to consider.
Right. That doctrine holds that all human life is sacred and must be preserved no matter what. But Singer challenges this absolute view, arguing that quality of life should sometimes be considered in end-of-life decisions.
He uses a really difficult example to illustrate this, the example of withholding treatment from a severely disabled infant.
It's a heartbreaking scenario. But Singer asks us to consider whether prolonging a life full of suffering is truly in the best interest of that individual.
It raises the question, when, if ever, is it ethical to factor quality of life into end-of-life choices?
It's a question that doesn't have easy answers. And it opens up another discussion
mm-hmm.
about who gets to make those judgments and how we ensure those decisions are made ethically and with compassion.
It's definitely a topic that demands careful consideration, balancing individual wishes with societal values and potential risks.
Absolutely. And from those very personal choices at the end of life, Singer takes us to a global perspective with his discussion of poverty and our obligations to those less fortunate.
And this is where he really challenges us to think about the limits of our moral responsibility. He argues that simply being well off creates a moral obligation to assist those living in extreme poverty.
He does, and he doesn't shy away from the tough questions. He uses the lifeboat analogy to illustrate the potential consequences of unlimited aid. Imagine a lifeboat with a limited capacity. If you keep pulling everyone out of the water, the boat sinks and everyone dies.
It's a stark reminder that resources are finite and that we need to find a balance between helping those in need and ensuring sustainability.
Exactly. It's about finding a sustainable approach that maximizes the good we can do without creating catastrophic outcomes. He's not advocating for open borders or unlimited aid. But he does believe we need to do much more to alleviate poverty.
It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected and taking concrete steps to address the immense suffering that exists in the world. And speaking of interconnectedness, we can't forget about environmental ethics.
Absolutely. This is where our ethical considerations expand beyond us humans to encompass the natural world and future generations.
It's about taking that circle of compassion and expanding it even further.
Precisely. Singer introduces the concept of intrinsic value, arguing that it's not just humans who have inherent worth. The natural world, with all its biodiversity and ecosystems, also has value simply by existing, regardless of its usefulness to us.
So it's not just about protecting nature because it benefits us. It's about recognizing its inherent worth.
Exactly. To illustrate this, he uses the example of a dam project that would flood a beautiful valley.
A tough decision, right? We have to weigh the benefits of development, like cheap electricity and economic growth,
yeah,
against the potential loss of nature and biodiversity.
Those are the kinds of trade-offs that environmental ethics forces us to confront, finding ways to balance human needs with the health of the planet. It's a complex challenge.
It is. And that dam example brings up the question of who gets to make those decisions. When human needs and environmental concerns clash.
That's a question that environmental ethicists grapple with constantly. There's no easy answer. But Singer's work encourages us to think about all the consequences, short-term and long-term, and to weigh everyone's interests, not just our own.
It's like shifting our perspective to encompass the well-being of the entire planet and all its inhabitants, not just humans.
The necessary shift, I'd say. And one that can lead to some interesting challenges, like the idea of civil disobedience, which we touched on earlier.
Oh, yeah, civil disobedience. Always a source of debate. When is it okay to break the law, even if you believe you're doing it for a good cause?
It's a tricky question, for sure. Singer dives into the arguments for and against it. One key factor he highlights is whether the laws themselves are unjust or uphold an unjust system. He uses the example of Oskar Schindler, who risked his life to save Jewish people during the Holocaust, defying Nazi laws that were clearly morally wrong.
In that situation, I think most people would agree that breaking the law was not only justified, but also the right thing to do. But what about situations that are less clear-cut? What if you believe a law is unjust, but it was passed democratically?
That's where things get even more complicated. Singer argues that in a democracy, we generally have an obligation to obey the law, even if we disagree with it, because it represents the will of the majority. But he also acknowledges that there might be times when civil disobedience is justified, even in a democracy.
Like if the democratic process itself is flawed, or a minority group is being systematically oppressed.
Precisely. And even then, he stresses the importance of nonviolent resistance and minimizing harm to others.
So it's not about feeling entitled to break any law you disagree with. It's about carefully considering the ethical implications and consequences of your actions.
Absolutely. And being willing to accept the legal consequences. If you choose to engage in civil disobedience, the point isn't to avoid punishment. It's about making a moral statement, even if it means facing penalties.
It definitely takes courage to stand up for what you believe in, especially when it means going against the norm and potentially facing negative consequences. It reminds us that ethics isn't just about abstract ideas. It's about how we live our lives, the choices we make, and the actions we take, even when they're difficult.
It is. It's about putting those values into action. Practical ethics is a call to live our values, even when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or even risky. It's about recognizing our interconnectedness with each other, with the planet, and with future generations, and making choices that reflect that understanding.
And sometimes those choices involve taking a stand, speaking truth to power, fighting for what's right, even if it means breaking the rules.
Sometimes, yes, but even when resisting, Singer urges us to act with compassion and understanding and a commitment to nonviolence.
It's about finding that balance between passion and reason, advocating for change while respecting the rights and viewpoints of others.
A delicate balance indeed. And it's important to remember that working toward a just and compassionate world is an ongoing journey, not a destination. There will always be new dilemmas, new challenges, and new opportunities to put our ethical principles into practice.
A journey that requires both our heads and our hearts, careful thought and a deep sense of empathy and compassion. And as Singer reminds us, it's a journey worth taking, not just for the sake of others, but for our own sense of purpose and fulfillment.
Well said. Speaking of fulfilling journeys, this deep dive has already taken us through some thought-provoking terrain, but let's shift gears a bit and explore another fundamental question. Why act morally at all?
That is a fundamental question. If there's no cosmic scorecard, keeping track of good deeds and bad deeds, if it's all relative to societal norms, why bother being good? Especially when it seems like others aren't playing by the same rules.
It's a question that has puzzled philosophers for centuries, and there's no single answer that will satisfy everyone. Humans are complex creatures, driven by a mixed motivations, some selfish, some altruistic.
So it's less about pretending we're all perfect and more about exploring the reasons why acting morally might actually be in our best interest.
Exactly. Singer examines a variety of arguments, some rooted in human nature and evolutionary psychology, others emphasizing the social benefits of cooperation and trust. Mm. He even suggests that there's an inherent value in acting morally, that it can bring a sense of satisfaction and meaning to our lives.
Like that feeling you get when you help someone in need. Knowing you've done something good, even if it cost you something, is an internal reward that goes beyond any external recognition.
It is, and that feeling of inner satisfaction can be powerful, and it's connected to the broader benefits of living in a just and compassionate society. Think about it. Wouldn't you rather live in a world where people generally treat each other with respect, fairness, kindness.
Absolutely. Life's just more enjoyable, less stressful, when you can trust people to act in good faith.
That trust is essential for so many things. Building strong communities, healthy relationships, even thriving economies. After all, cooperation is much more efficient than constant conflict and competition.
So even from a purely practical, self-interested perspective, there's a case to be made that acting ethically benefits us in the long run.
That's one of the key takeaways from Singer's work. He's not denying that selfishness exists or pretending it's always easy to do the right thing, but he is highlighting that doing the right thing often aligns with our own well-being, both individually and as a society.
It's definitely something to think about, because when you consider the alternative, a world where everyone's constantly looking out for themselves, no trust, no compassion, no sense of shared responsibility, it's not a very appealing picture.
It's a bleak picture indeed, and one that Singer wants us to actively work against. He reminds us that we're capable of both selfishness and altruism, and that we can choose to nurture those better instincts.
So it's not about denying our human imperfections. It's about striving to be better, making choices that reflect our values and contribute to a more just and a caring world.
Beautifully put. That brings us back to the heart of practical ethics. This isn't just theoretical philosophy. It's a guidebook for how we live our lives, a set of tools for navigating those complex moral choices we face in real-world situations.
It's about taking those ethical principles, equality, impartiality, minimizing suffering, expanding our circle of concern, and putting them into action in our daily lives.
From the food we eat, to the clothes we wear, to how we treat the people around us, every decision has ethical implications. And practical ethics empowers us to make those decisions consciously and thoughtfully, with a deeper understanding of how our choices affect ourselves, others, and the world we live in.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive. Practical ethics really pushes you to think critically, examine your own assumptions, and strive to live a life that aligns with your values. It's not always easy. But as we've seen today, it's a journey worth taking.
It is. And remember, this journey of ethical exploration, it's a continuous process. There will always be new questions to ponder, new challenges to face, and new opportunities to make a positive impact on the world.
So let's keep flexing those ethical muscles. Keep asking those tough questions. Because as Singer reminds us, a life well lived is a life examined. And a world worth living in is one built on a foundation of ethics and compassion.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Until next time, keep diving deep and embrace those aha moments that make this journey of discovery so enriching.
Yeah, it really does. It makes you think about, like, who gets to decide, you know, when those human needs and environmental concerns, they kind of bump up against each other.
It's a tough one. I mean, there's no easy answer.
No, not at all. But it's something that environmental ethicists, they wrestle with this all the time.
Mm.
What Singer's work really encourages us to do is to think about all of the consequences, like not just the short term, but the long term ones too, and to weigh everyone's interests, you know, not just our own.
Like, we need to shift our perspective
to
include, like, the well-being of the whole planet, all of its inhabitants, not just us humans.
Right. It's a necessary shift. Right. And, you know, that shift in perspective, sometimes it can lead people to challenge the status quo, kind of like what we were talking about earlier with civil disobedience.
Oh, yeah. Civil disobedience. That's always a tricky one.
It is.
I mean, when is it actually okay to break the law? Even if you think you're doing it for a good cause, right? Like, where's that line? Well, Singer, you know, he explores all those arguments for and against civil disobedience. And one important factor that he points out is whether the laws themselves are unjust or if they're upholding, you know.
An unjust system.
Yeah.
He uses that example of Oskar Schindler, you know, who risked his own life to save Jewish people during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And he was defying Nazi laws that were just clearly morally wrong.
Yeah, in that situation, I think most people would agree that breaking the law was not only justified, it was like the right thing to do. But what about those situations that are, you know, a little less clear cut? What if you believe a law is unjust, but it was passed democratically?
Yeah, that's a lot tougher, isn't it?
Hmm.
Singer argues that in a democracy, we generally have an obligation to obey the law, even if we don't agree with it, because it represents, you know, the will of the majority. But he also says that there might be times when civil disobedience is justified, even in a democracy.
Like in cases where the democratic process itself is flawed, or maybe like a minority group is being systematically oppressed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those are the situations he's talking about. And even then, he emphasizes how important it is to engage in nonviolent resistance, you know, to minimize harm to others.
So it's not about just feeling like you can break any law that you don't personally agree with.
Yeah.
It's more about like carefully thinking through the ethical implications and the consequences of your actions.
Right. It's about being responsible.
Right.
And also being willing to face those legal consequences. If you choose to engage in civil disobedience, the point isn't to avoid punishment. It's about making that moral statement, even if it means, you know, facing some penalties.
It takes a lot of courage to stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
Especially when it means going against the grain.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe even facing some negative consequences.
It does.
It's a good reminder that ethics isn't just about, you know, ideas. It's about how we actually live our lives, the choices we make, the actions we take, even when it's hard.
It really is. I mean, practical ethics is like this call to action, you know?
Yeah.
It's a call to live our values, even when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable or even risky. It's about recognizing that connection we have with each other, with the planet, and with future generations, and then actually making choices. That show, we understand that.
And sometimes those choices mean taking a stand, speaking truth to power, fighting for what's right, even if it means breaking the rules.
Yeah, sometimes it does come to that. But even when we're resisting like that, Singer urges us to act with compassion, to act with understanding, and to hold on to that commitment to nonviolence.
It's like finding that sweet spot between passion and reason.
Yeah.
You know, where you can advocate for change, but still respect the rights and the viewpoints of other people.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
It is.
And it's important to remember that, you know, you're working towards a just and compassionate world. It's not like a destination. It's more like a journey. There will always be new dilemmas to face, new challenges, new chances to put those ethical principles into practice.
It's a journey that needs both our heads and our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, we need careful thought, but also a deep sense of empathy and compassion.
Right.
And as Singer reminds us, it's a journey worth taking, not just for the sake of others, but for our own sense of purpose and fulfillment, too.
I love that. Speaking of fulfilling journeys, you know, this deep dive, it's taken us through, that's pretty thought-provoking territory already. But maybe we can kind of shift gears a little bit and explore another, like a fundamental question here. Why even act morally at all?
It's a question that kind of makes you stop and think, right? Yeah. There's no like, you know, cosmic scorecard up there, keeping track of all the good stuff and bad stuff we do. If it's all just relative, like what society decides, why even bother being good?
Especially when it seems like everyone else is out there breaking the rules.
Right.
It's a good question. And to be honest, it's one that's been, you know, bugging philosophers for centuries. There's no like easy answer, no answer that's going to make everyone happy.
Because people are complicated, right?
They are super complicated. We're all driven by all these different motivations. Some are selfish. Some are altruistic. It's a mix.
So maybe it's less about pretending that we're all perfect.
Yeah.
And more about like.
Yeah.
Understanding why being moral might actually be good for us in the long run.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Singer, you know, he looks at a bunch of different arguments. Some are based on, you know, human nature, evolutionary psychology. Others focus on those like social benefits that come from cooperation and trust. He even suggests that there's like an inherent value. Yeah. And just acting morally, like it can actually bring us a sense of satisfaction and meaning.
It's like that feeling you get when you help someone out.
Yeah.
And you know you did a good thing, even if it costs you something. There's that kind of like internal reward.
There is.
That goes beyond any, you know, external recognition or praise.
Yeah. It's a powerful feeling. And it's connected to these those broader benefits of living in a just and compassionate society. You know, imagine, what if you lived in a world where everyone treated each other with respect, fairness, and kindness?
Oh, man, that sounds pretty good. It's like life would be more enjoyable, way less stressful. If you could just trust that, people are going to act in good faith.
Exactly, that trust. It's the foundation for so much. Strong communities, healthy relationships, even a good economy, you know. Because when you think about it, cooperation is way more efficient than constant conflict and competition.
So you're saying even if we just look at it from a purely practical standpoint, like self-interest.
Yeah.
It's a good reason.
To act ethically.
There is. It's one of those key takeaways from Singer's work. It's not that he's denying that people can be selfish. We all know that's true.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's saying it's always easy to do the right thing. But what he's doing is he's pointing out that doing the right thing often lines up with our own well-being, both individually and as a society.
But what about the flip side of that? What about that world where everyone's just out for themselves? There's no trust, no compassion, no sense of responsibility. Yeah, that's a pretty bleak picture. And it's one that Singer wants us to really push against. He reminds us that we're capable of both selfishness and altruism. And we have the power to choose, to nurture those better instincts.
So it's about recognizing that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But that we can always try to be better. Make choices that reflect our values and try to build a more just and caring world.
I love that. That's a perfect way to sum it up. It brings us right back to the core of practical ethics. This isn't just, you know, some abstract philosophy book. It's a guide for how we live our lives. It gives us the tools to navigate those tough moral choices that come up in real world situations.
It's about taking those principles, equality, impartiality, minimizing suffering, expanding our circle of concern, and actually putting them into practice.
In our everyday lives, exactly.
It's about recognizing that. Every decision we make, from the food we buy to the way we treat others, it all has an ethical dimension.
It does. And practical ethics helps us to make those decisions more consciously, more thoughtfully, with a deeper understanding of how our choices impact ourselves, others, and the world.
This deep dive has been seriously thought-provoking. You know Singer's practical ethics. It really challenges you to think critically, to question your assumptions.
Yeah.
And to try to live a life that's consistent with your values.
It's not always easy.
No, it's not, but it's definitely worth the effort.
It is. And it's important to remember this journey of ethical exploration, it never really ends. There will always be new questions to ask, new challenges to face, new opportunities to make a positive impact on the world.
So keep those ethical muscles flexed. Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions. Because like Singer says, a life well lived is a life examined. And a world worth living in is built on a foundation of ethics and compassion.
Well said. That's a great note to end on.
It is. Thanks for joining us.
This has been another deep dive.